The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Amen. So we're going to start out in Ephesians, and we're going to kind of jump around just a little bit, okay? We'll start out in Ephesians chapter 5. Great chapter when it comes to talking about the family. So we're going to do verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians 5, and then we'll kind of be jumping around a little bit in the Bible. So if you have your Bibles, you can kind of be flipping around different places we'll be at, but then we'll come back to Ephesians midway, okay? So let's read this. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, it says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love. Follow the example of Christ, who loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us." So right off the bat, I look at this verse and I see this verse is all about us being able to be imitated. And so the first thing that I want to drive home is this idea of being imitable. Be imitable. So the word imitable is not like a word you use all the time, right? It's just one of those words that if you don't spell it right, it looks weird. So I almost spelled the word imitatable, and then I'm like, no, that's not the right word. The word is imitable. Imitable. So we want a definition for the word imitable. It is worthy of being imitated or copied. Worthy of being imitated or copied. So God is calling us to be imitable, to be worthy of being imitated or copied. Now, you may or may not know this or notice this, but your kids will do everything that you do. And not only will your kids do what you do, but they'll also do it the way you do it. Okay? So if you are getting ready in the morning and you're standing in the bathroom and you're taking out your razor and you're shaving, your son's watching you, he's going to stand in the exact same place in his bathroom and he's going to get his razor out and do the same thing that you do. Because they learn by example. And they imitate you. So as even as kids imitate us, God is actually calling us to an even higher place. And He's saying, not only are your own children going to imitate you, but also the world that is watching you is looking for a role model to imitate. The world out there is looking to us to set the example. And if we are going to set an example for them, we have to be imitable. We have to be people that can be copied or imitated. So this requires that you think in your mind, are there things in my life that I don't want other people imitating? Is there something about me? Is there something about my character? Is there a habit that I have? Is there something about me that I don't want other people to copy? And if the answer is yes, then you need to identify what that is and make sure that you're working on getting rid of that, because I guarantee you that is going to be copied. I would almost say that your bad habits and the things, your behavior that's not so honorable, I would almost say that those things are copied or imitated quicker than the things that you do that are honorable. Would you agree with me? And maybe you've come across this where you hear a child who's very young and they're using language that they shouldn't be using at that age, and you're just like, man, where did that kid hear those kinds of words? Probably not from TV. I mean, they may have seen and heard those kind of words on movies, and maybe they're friends at school, but more than likely, if a child picks up a bad habit of using the wrong kind of language, they've picked it up in the home. They've had that imitated. And you know what I find scary, a little bit frightening, is that sometimes as parents, we'll use the wrong words, and then we'll say to our kids, don't ever say that. We'll use the wrong word, and we'll say, I don't want you using that kind of language. But the reality is, the fact that you used it, you've already authorized them to use it. You've already given them your permission to use that kind of language because you yourself spoke it in front of them. So it's something for us to be very, very careful about. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. It says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. This is Paul speaking, and Paul knew that if he was going to live his life in front of these new believers, that he had to have a life that was imitable. And so he said this. He said, follow my example because I'm following the example of Christ. How many of us can say that? How many of us can turn to the person next to us and say, hey, do what I do, say what I say, because I'm doing what Jesus would do and I'm saying what Jesus would say. That's a pretty big bill to try to fill, right? Those are some pretty high standards to try to live up to. But that's the standard that God's calling us to. Look what it says in Philippians 3, verse 7. It says, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Once again, this is Paul speaking of his own life and the lives of the leaders in the church. And he's saying, pattern your life after ours. In other words, this guy had enough confidence in the way that he was living that he could actually tell the people around him, if you imitate me, you're going to be imitating Jesus. If you do what I do, you're going to be doing what Jesus does. I would love, first of all, to myself to be able to say that to the people around me. But can you imagine how different our families would look if every father in the room was able to say to their family, do exactly what I do, and you'll always be honoring Jesus. Can you imagine being able to make that kind of a statement to your family? Well, that's exactly the kind of statement that Jesus wants you to be able to make to your family. See, we need to live demonstratively in front of our families and the world. We need to lead by instruction and example. Lead by instruction and example. Let me just say this. There are too many parents out there that are leading by instruction only. And that's just not going to fly. Let me tell you why. Because the people that are watching you are going to be led by your example, no matter what you say. And it's important that you say the right things, but the truth is, they're going to do what you do before they do what you tell them to do. Ready for your dad tip? This is for fathers exclusively. First dad tip is, don't just say it, do it. Don't just say it, do it. So dads, it can't just be inaudible, right? It has to be, you have to actually be the one that's doing it, okay? Don't just tell your kids, don't just tell your family, you need to be doing these things. If it's something that's right and honoring before God, you lead the way by doing it first. The second thing is be reliable. Be reliable. The word reliable means able to be trusted to do or provide what is needed. Able to be trusted to do or provide what is needed. Here's the thing. If the people around you trust you, if the people around you can place their trust in you, they've got to know that your ability to be trustworthy, that your ability to be trusted is coming from somewhere greater than yourself. Because the only way that we can be trustworthy is if we're following after Jesus and we're doing the things that God's called us to do. Because those are trustworthy things. Those are the things that people can rely upon. Those are the things that people can depend upon. So we need to be reliable. Here's the thing, your deepest values, the things that you consider the most important, should be consistently evident in your behavior. So if you say you believe in the principles of the Bible, those things should be reflected in your behavior. If you say that you have this biblical moral view of what a family should look like, those things should be evident in the way you act and the way you talk. And it shouldn't just be every once in a while. It should be consistent across the board, all the time. No matter who you're talking to, no matter who you're spending time with, that needs to be consistent. Look what it says in Psalms 119, verse 5. It says, oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. So this is the prayer, that everything that I do would consistently reflect what's written in this book. Can you imagine if everything you did was consistent with what God has written down for us? That is a huge goal to strive for. But I feel like it's a necessary goal. It's a necessary strategy if we're going to really be effective. Ready for your dad tip? Dad tip is, be the same person all the time to everyone. Be the same person all the time to everyone. So you're the same person to that person that you want to impress as you are to your family. You're the same person to that stranger on the street as you are to the people you care about the most. Be the same person to everyone all the time. That's not easy to do, my friends, and I guarantee you're going to make a lot of mistakes as you pursue this goal. But it's necessary. The third thing is this: be humble. Be humble. What's the definition of the word humble? Having or showing a modest estimate of one's importance. Having or showing a modest estimate of one's importance. I love the way this is worded, because I started thinking, what does the word humble mean to us? I mean, sometimes when you think of the word humble, you think of maybe just not wanting to be recognized for something, you know, tending to maybe stay in the background, or maybe you might think of humility as being something that's weak. I mean, as a dude, humility is not something that comes naturally to me. It's not something that I don't naturally behave in a humble manner. I have to remind myself. I have to tell myself to behave in a humble way. But you know what's better it's better to tell yourself to behave in a humble manner than to have somebody else humble you. Have you had that happen before? Somebody else humbles you, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, I'm a jerk. You have those moments where you recognize, and it's like completely obvious that you've made the wrong choices and that you really are not portraying yourself to be who you really should be. Humility is something that is so, so evasive in our lives. As a matter of fact, the moment that you recognize, check this out, the moment you recognize that humility is a quality that you have, you automatically lose it. You know what I mean? Like, if I were to say, hey, I'm a humble guy, just by making that statement, I've already said I'm not a humble person. So humility is something that's very evasive. It's a character that needs to become a part of who we are, but it's not something that we brag about. It's not something that we tell people about. It's just a behavior that becomes a part of our life, and it just becomes noticeable to the people around us. But it's never something that we draw attention to. Here's the thing. You don't have to be perfect. Just always striving to honor God and put others first. So you don't have to have this perfectly right, okay? You don't have to have everything all together. But as long as you're striving to honor God and you're putting others first, humility is going to just be a byproduct of that. Philippians 2 verse 3 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. And this may be one of the most difficult things that you ever attempt in your life, to put someone else's needs ahead of your own. But I believe it's one of the most necessary things to do if we're going to have the right family dynamic. And then James 4 verse 10 says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. So check this out. This is what's really cool about developing humble qualities. When you begin to develop humility in your life, God himself begins to honor you. God himself begins to lift you up. See, pride is us lifting ourselves up, okay? Pride is us saying, I want to make myself more noticeable. I want to make myself better. Humility is God saying, I want to lift you up. Okay? Let's make sure we get that right. So pride is us lifting ourselves up, and humility is God lifting us up. And the only way that we get that is by taking on this humble attitude. Ready for your dad tip? Here it is. Admit that you're not always right and you can't do everything. Those two things right there, I think, are the hardest things for us as fathers to do. Admit that you're not always right. Well, first of all, I mean, just admitting that you're not right, just period, right? I mean, if someone were to say to you and say, are you always right? Then you would say, no, of course not, okay? But if they point out certain circumstances, and like, were you right here? Yeah, I was right there. Were you right here? Yeah, I was right there. Were you right here? Yeah, I was right there. Okay, so individually, if we consider it individually, you would probably say, I'm always right. But if someone were to say to you, are you always right? You would say, no. You understand what I'm talking about here? It's something that we need to recognize that we have a problem with. We have a problem admitting when we're wrong. We have a problem not only admitting when we're wrong, but we also have a problem apologizing. Okay, because sometimes we'll admit that we're wrong, and we're just like, my bad. And we're okay with that. We're okay with just the admittance, my bad. But we don't want to go and clean up our mess. We don't want to go to the people that we've offended or the people that we've wronged and say, hey, I was wrong, I'm sorry. There's a big difference between admitting guilt and apologizing for it. Does that make sense? There's a big difference between admitting that you've done something wrong and then going to a person that you offended or that you committed that wrong and saying, I'm sorry. So, dads, admit that you're not always right and admit that you can't do everything. I think that we want our families of all people to believe that we can do anything. And your kids probably think you can do anything. I mean, they're probably always trying to challenge that too, trying to find something a dad can't do. And in their little mind, they're just like, my dad can do anything. And that can really bolster our pride. But it's helpful for us to portray humility in front of our families and to admit, hey, I don't always have it. I don't always have it going on. Sometimes I myself need help. Dads, don't be afraid to reach out for help when you need it. Fourth thing, be loving. Be loving. So you may think you don't need a definition for the word loving, but let me give it to you anyway. Loving means demonstrating love or great care. Demonstrating love or great care. Now this is something I find challenging because I can love somebody, but demonstrating my love for somebody is a little bit different. You can have people that are close to you, people that you care deeply for in your life, and they may never know it. You may have people in your life right now, you may have family members in your life right now that you care for deeply, but because you've never said I love you or you've never demonstrated it in some way, they will never know. Guys, don't let it be a guessing game for the people in your life. Don't let the people in your life have to always wonder, do they really love me? Do they really care for me? Make it perfectly clear and obvious to them that you love them. Be loving, demonstrating love or great care. Look, we're going back to the Ephesians 5, verse 2. It says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. So Jesus set the ultimate example of what it means to live a life letting people know that you love them. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So Jesus' sacrifice to us, it was a sacrifice. To God, it was a pleasant aroma. In other words, it pleased God. And it still pleases God when you sacrifice for your family. When you sacrifice for the people around you, that is still a good smell in God's nostrils. So I want to encourage you, don't stink it up. Don't make God plug his nose. You know what I'm saying? If we're truly going to be loving to the people around us, let's do it. Let's do it the way Jesus did it, because that is going to smell the best. Colossians 3:14 says, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Two things I want to point out in this verse. The first thing is, it says, clothe yourself in love. Now, here's the thing about love. You can have love in your heart, But if you're not wearing love, people around you don't know. You wear clothes, right? Because that's the part of you that you want people to see, right? You put on clothes because you're like, okay, I want people to see this and not what's under it necessarily. Okay? So this idea of clothing yourself with love, it means this outward appearance of love. This making love known. It's like you're putting on love just like you would put on your outfit that you're going to wear for the day. So that people are always reminded that you're a loving person. They can physically see it in the things that you do. They recognize it right away. Don't make people a guess. Again, don't make people guess that you love them. Make it obvious that you love them. We need to clearly communicate your love and care for your family through your words and actions. And then let God bring unity as a result. That's the second part of this verse. It says that it brings perfect harmony. Clothe yourself in love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Is there unity in your home? Is your home a place that's not unified? Is there division? Is there strife in your home? You want to know why that is? Because love is not clearly being displayed. According to God's word, where love is clearly displayed, there's unity. Clothe yourself with love, and unity will follow. Ready for your dad tip? Make your love visible. Make your love visible. Let that be the memory that you give your family. Let that be your legacy that you leave behind. That the way you loved was clear. It was obvious. It was visible. Practically, what does it look like? What does it mean for you to display love to your family? I don't know exactly what that looks like for you, but maybe it looks like spending time with them. Maybe it looks like actually verbally saying, I love you. Maybe it looks like giving special attention to the things that you know a family member really likes. Whatever that looks like for you, I encourage you and I challenge you to pursue that. Make your love visible. The fifth thing, be dependent on God. Be dependent on God. Dependent means to rely upon, to be influenced by or controlled by someone else. So if you're dependent upon God, you rely upon God, you're influenced by Him, and you're controlled by Him. That's what it means to be dependent upon God. Psalms 37 verse 5 says this. It says, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Is there anything that you do in your life that's too small for you to commit to God? The answer is no. There is no part of your life that's too small that God doesn't want to be a part of it. Sometimes we have this picture in our head of God, and God is so big and He's so distant from us. But the reality is God is a very personal God. God desires to have a close, intimate relationship with us. And so even the smallest action, the smallest thought, God wants to be a part of that in your life. And so invite Him in. Be dependent upon God. Here's something that we need to recognize, because sometimes when things go out of control in our lives, we might say, man, I don't have any control over this. Okay, things have spun out of control, and you're like, I don't have any control of this. I think there's something we need to recognize, and that is that we are never in control. That's something that we need to realize. Your circumstance is beyond your control. It's not only necessary, but urgent that you trust God. Because even when you think you're in control of the situation, you're really not in control of it. You ever felt like you were just completely in control, and then all of a sudden it's like, what happened? Where did I lose control? Well, the reality is you were never the one in control. But if you're allowing God to control you, if you're surrendering that control over to God, God is never going to mess that one up. God is, he's always always going to do the right thing. And so when we surrender our control over to God, we know that we can trust him. We know that God has everything in his hand. So a few months back, Josiah and I took Josiah, I don't know why, it was just me and him. I think Debbie didn't want to go with us for some reason. We went to like a family fun park up in San Diego. And the first place we went to, we looked it up on the web, and it was like, what was the place called? Family Fun for Everyone, I think is what it was called. Yeah, so we roll up to this place, right? We're like, Family Fun for Everyone? Oh, that sounds so good, right? So we pull up into the parking lot, and as we get, we could see it from a distance. As a matter of fact, we could see like the top of the batting cages, you know, so you knew it was like you're getting close to it. And we pull up in the parking lot, and we look, and we realize that this place has been abandoned. It's been shut down, okay? Everything's like dilapidated, you know, it's like there's a go-kart there, it's like on its side, right? There's like the bumper boat pool and it's all empty. There's like cracked bumper boat in the bottom, right? And it's we were just like, so it was like family disappointment for everyone, right? And we're like, no, it's horrible. And so we're just sitting there thinking, man, what are we gonna do? And Josiah starts to like kind of tear up because I mean this is, you know, he really had built up this family fun in his mind, and to see that, he was just like, no. So I said, let's take a picture of this, at least for a memory, right? And then I'm like, okay, let's look up another place. And we found the best family fun center that I've ever been to in my life, okay? So we roll up to this place, and we're like, wow, this place is amazing, and it's huge. And we went in, and we just, I was like a kid, right? I mean, Josiah's like, let's, you know, trying to plan out what we're going to do. I'm like, don't make a plan. Let's just go, right? We're doing everything. We're like going to all the places and participating in one particular thing. We went to the go-karts, but these weren't like your average go-karts, okay? I mean, these are like your average, you know, family fun center go-karts on steroids. So I think they were just, I don't know, maybe the guy that was running the thing was, there was something wrong with him or something, but I felt like everything was like amplified, like way more than it probably should have been. And so it almost looked unsafe. And I'm like, let's do this, right? So we get in this go-kart and we're just like, you know, just hauling around. Oh man, we were just like picking up speed. And I decided I'm gonna take my camera out and I'm gonna take pictures of us while we're driving around this go-kart track, right? Because you can't really do that when you're on the road, but when you're in a go-kart, you can, right? No, you can't. So I'm like taking pictures of us. I'm like, when you're doing a selfie, you gotta like pay attention to the screen so you make sure that you're both in the screen, right? But when you're paying attention to the screen, you're not paying attention to the road. And so all of a sudden we ran into something, right? And so we're both just like, ugh, you know. I mean, we were moving fast enough to where it really jostled us. And so I'm like, man, how did I lose control of that situation? The reality is I was never really in control, right? It was like the kid in me was in control, right? I wasn't actually the one in control. And so easily our lives can just spin out of control and suddenly we're like there shocked and just confused. Like how could this have happened? God, how could you have let this happen in my life? And the reality is because we're not trusting God, because we're not putting him first and we're not allowing God to be the one that's in control. That's how we got into this place in the first place. Understand I'm a much better driver on the road. I got overwhelmed with the moment. We need to be dependent upon God. Ephesians 3:17 says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So if you make your heart Christ's home, as you trust in him, your roots are going to dig down deep, and God's love is going to keep you strong. Here's your dad tip. Dads, set the tone for trusting God in your home. Set the tone for trusting God in your home. So fathers, you be the ones that are setting the stage for that. You be the ones that are setting the example. Set the bar for trusting God plenty high in your home. And you be the one that leads the way. And then the last thing is this. Be content. Be content. What does content mean? It means mentally and emotionally at peace with your circumstance. mentally and emotionally peace with your at peace with your circumstance. That's a tough one. Paul says this in Philippians 4, verse 11, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have." Paul says, "This is what I got, this is all I got, and I'm okay with that. I'm content." I think one thing that will destroy your family almost quicker than anything else is covetousness. Even the world recognizes that covetousness is wrong and it's unhealthy. We get expressions like the grass is always greener, keeping up with the Joneses, right? I mean, all those expressions are indicative that even society itself recognizes that covetousness is unhealthy. It's not good for you. And by the way, that's one of those things God says not to do. God says don't covet. Don't look at something else that someone has and say, "I wish I had that." That's pretty hard to do. Especially when people around you got nicer stuff than you. Right? If the guy next door has a boat and you got to stare at that boat every single day when you leave your house and when you come back home. I mean, that could be a little bit difficult to not become covetous. When you go over to someone's house and you're like, "Oh man, they have this? We could never afford that." Have you done that before? And then you go home and it's like, you know, everybody's attitude. You know, you have a great time over there, but then you go back home where you don't have that thing and you're just like, oh man. How come we don't have that? You know what I'm talking about? We do that. We see someone else with a certain clothing item or accessory item, and we're just like, "Oh, look what they have, look at that." We get so excited about it, and we're just like, right away, we're just like, "Man, if I only had that, that would be, oh man, life would be what? What would life be like, right?" Probably be you looking at something else and wishing you had that. I mean, the reality of covetousness is that once you get what you really wanted, it doesn't really satisfy you. You still want something else. And so no matter how much you obtain and no matter how much you draw to yourself, you still want more. Because that thing that you're trying to satisfy is actually a hole in you. It's actually this vacuum in you. And so covetousness cannot be satisfied. You're going to only make yourself hungrier and thirstier for the next best thing. Don't give into it. Don't give into covetousness, but instead, be a good steward of the things God has given to you. Look at what God has already blessed you with. Look at what God has already provided for you. And be a good steward of those things. Don't look at what God's provided for someone else or what someone else has managed to obtain and somehow think that your life is going to be better because of that. But instead, take what God's given you and be content with that. And what does it mean to be content? It means mentally and emotionally at peace with your circumstance. Sometimes we can say we're at peace with it. Sometimes we can say, "I'm okay with this." But maybe in our heart, we're just like, "I really, really wish things were different." We've got to come to a point where we make peace with what God's given us. And we say, "You know what, God, I'm satisfied having my basic needs met and having your presence in my life." Our satisfaction, like our greatest satisfaction, has to come from God. If our satisfaction doesn't come from God, we're always going to be looking for something to satisfy us. Because God is the only one that can ultimately satisfy us. And so if we don't find satisfaction in Him, we're going to look everywhere else to try to be satisfied. You know, the curse of covetousness is that when you desire other things, material things, it begins to push out the character of God in you. So the qualities that God wants to build up in you, you end up pushing those things out of your life and replacing that with covetousness. And so my challenge and my encouragement to you is to be satisfied with what God has given you and find your satisfaction in Him. truly find your satisfaction in God and recognize that everything else is just borrowed, right? You only have it for a short period of time anyway. 1 Timothy 6:8, Paul says this. He says, "So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content." If we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Do you not have enough food? If you don't have enough food, it's okay to not be satisfied because that need needs to be met. Do you not have the clothing you need? Okay, let's take care of that problem. But the reality is, and especially I think if you live in America, you're probably not running into this problem of not having enough food or having enough clothing. We throw away more food than most people enjoy in other countries. We have way more clothes in our closet than people have in their entire lifetime. So understand that we have our needs met. And God is saying, be satisfied with having your needs met and find your ultimate satisfaction in me. What's the dad tip here? Dads, learn to be okay with what you have without being complacent. Now, I added on without being complacent because for dads, when I say to you to be okay with what you have, it doesn't mean that you settle for the absolute minimum and you're like, I'm not even going to try, okay? Because we need, as dads, we need to be looking out after the welfare of our family. We need to be working hard to make sure that our family's comfortable and well cared for, okay? So I don't want us to become complacent. I don't want you to, you know, tell your family, hey, you know, this is just the reality of things and things are not going to get any better, right? I mean, we're always striving for things to be better, but at the same time, we're satisfied with what God has given us. And that's a delicate balance for us because we have to set the tone for that kind of satisfaction in our family. But at the same time, we have to always be considering that our family is provided for and well taken care of. So that's why I say don't become complacent, but learn to be content with what you have. I firmly believe that if we follow after these things, we're going to have a home that is honoring to God and is a home that's filled with love and filled with unity. Or we could ignore all these things and we could just go about living life the way we think it should be lived, the way we think it should be run, and we're probably going to be like the way I was in my first chess tournament. If we don't go in with a strategy, if we don't have a plan, we're setting ourselves up for failure. And God has already given us the ultimate strategy. He's given us the ultimate plan for what our family should look like. Let's not ignore it. Let's not dismiss it. Let's not just take some of it. Let's not just say, well, this sounds good, so I'm going to do this. But let's take it all. Let's take the whole complete instruction of God and apply that to our lives. So dads, we want you to have an amazing day, but recognize this is Sunday, tomorrow's Monday, and it's going to be hard work, right? But we want to be ready for it. We want to be ready for it because these are some pretty serious things that we need to have a part of our home. And if we're going to do that, it's going to take some hard work. It's going to take being intentional. It's going to take having God give us the strength to do that. Don't try to do it on your own. It's not going to happen. And for every one of us in the room, not just dads, but for every single one of us, if we can apply these things to our lives, that we know that we'll be that much closer to God and we'll be that living lives that are that much more worthy of being imitated.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.